Discover Church, welcome. Thanks for, allowing us, like myself, Jack and Olivia, to, you know, have this opportunity to speak to you. It's definitely an honor and a privilege. So I guess to introduce myself and all three of us, we are all on the youth team, as Lauren said. And I think that's a coincidence. I don't think that's why they asked us, but that's a fact. And there was another thing, and it's kind of dumb, but it always comes up whenever I speak. Everyone asks me afterwards, is your name Denzel or Denzel? Because I feel like I always introduce myself as like one way and people say another way. But I just wanted to clear it up. Like, I don't care which way, it's potato, potato. So I'll respond to both and I don't mind. Sorry? No, it's both. I've been called both my whole life. I think mum calls me Denzel, so just call me Denz. All right, so that was a bit dumb. I'll get that out of the way. All right, so today we're going to obviously be speaking about the theme that Pastor Caleb's been bringing to us and Pastor Leanne last week and someone else as well recently, about the Holy Spirit. And we really want to talk about trusting in the Holy Spirit and what that means to us. And what does it mean to trust in the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? So I'm going to talk about myself for a little bit about my testimony. So I'm Denzel, I'm 23, and I grew up on a broadacre farm, which is about 5 hours away, near a little town called Neil. And this town was pretty small, it was a population of 2,000. And me and my family, we lived like half an hour from that town. So pretty remote, pretty isolated, and that's how I grew up. So the church that we went to was actually a Pentecostal church. So out of a lot of experience of people talking about the Holy Spirit, people praying in tongues, people praying, people prophesying. And I remember at our church, we used to do like this worship at the start, like we do now. And because our church was a lot smaller, you know, small country town, there was always this opportunity at the end of worship, people could come up and they could grab the microphone and they could, you know, sing something prophetic or pray something out, whatever they felt led to by the Spirit. And I was like, you know, a little 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, and my dad was the elder at the time, so he was the one with the microphone. He would like, God, like, hear what you have to say before he lets you speak, so nothing crazy is going on. But and even as a little boy, I remember, you know, having such faith and confidence, like, oh, God wants to say this. And I'd go up to my dad and like, oh, I want to say this, you know, to all the adults and stuff. And I'm sure it's something basic like, God is good, the devil is bad, or something like that. But something super profound. And Dad would, you know, sometimes he'd say no, like that's not right. But sometimes he would allow me to, you know, speak up and prophesy and say what I really felt the Holy Spirit was saying. And so I had that kind of experience. And I started to be, when I was baptized, I was 8 years old. And this lady came up to me and she said, Denzel, by next week, you'll be able to pray in tongues. So I just thought, okay, that's cool. I went to my mum and dad, we prayed, I ended up praying in tongues, and I came to that lady the very next week, and I said, I can pray in tongues, and she's like, oh my goodness, I'm so excited, I do cartwheels, and I was so surprised. I was like, you literally told me this is going to happen, why are you so surprised? And I was just, I guess my little 8-year-old brain, I didn't, yeah, but that was pretty cool. So during this time, I went to a really small school. So when I was in prep, there was about 10 students, and one of them was my older sister, Jasmine, and myself. And when I was in grade one, there was like 8 students, and when I was in grade two, there was 5 students, and then the school finally closed down. But during this time, I was like the only kid in my grade, basically. There was a couple kids like 1 or 2 years older than me, but I was basically by myself in a sense. But we were all together, and I didn't realize like other people weren't Christians or other people didn't go to church. And I remember just always talking about God, always talking about the Bible, and they're all like telling me to shut up. Like, what are you talking about? This is dumb. And I'm sure my sister Jasmine would have been embarrassed by me for doing that, but she was a good sport. So, so eventually I moved to this bigger school. When that school closed down, I went to a bigger primary school, a lot more kids, and I'm not used to talking to other kids, socializing with kids. I don't really know, you know, what the go is kind of thing. But I would kind of continue talking about God and religion, and then I'd get pushback. And eventually, you know, people are like, what are you talking about? Like, no one cares about this. No one cares about this stuff. So eventually, I guess, you know, stopped talking about it and I just acted like everyone else, wanted to do what everyone else was doing. I just wanted to fit in. So that was good. And then eventually, sorry I'm going all over the place, but it does have a point, I promise. Eventually we got connected to this church. My parents were connected to the pastors here and we started going to conferences and there was like this Engage conference, this Force conference, and you know, it was a school of prophets. They had a lot of conferences back then. And oftentimes we would come and there would be crazy moves of the Holy Spirit. And as a kid, I was just amazed. Like I would go and there would be these nights and the Holy Spirit would really break through and, you know, some pretty wild stuff would happen and, you know, there'll be people crying, people laughing, all on the floor, rolling, screaming, crazy stuff that I'd never seen before, but I was kind of amazed and I wanted that for myself. But I felt, oftentimes I'd stand there like waiting to get prayed for, but I never felt those things happen to me. I never started laughing. I never fell over. I always felt like something was wrong with me because these things wasn't happening to me. And that was an ongoing theme. I went to youth here. That was, yeah, those kind of things came. And yeah, during high school, when I was a little kid, I would talk about God and stuff all the time. I think that slowly quietened down. And I wouldn't really talk about it with my friends at all. I wouldn't talk about my faith. I wouldn't talk about God because I just wanted to fit in. Finally, so in 2018, I joined this course that they used to run here called EDT. So it was a discipleship training. Both these guys have done it. But when I was in my first year in 2018, it was in one of the first few weeks. And I was with my class. We're in like behind here and we're doing this prayer session. And I don't know how this came about, but kind of a similar story to what Pastor Leanne shared last week about how someone told her to yell freedom really loudly. Similar thing happened to me, and someone, I think it was Chris, a guy called Chris Driver, and he told me, Denzel, I think you need to roar like a lion. And if you know, I'm pretty shy. I don't really like being the center of attention. I don't like making loud noises. I don't like yelling. And so I was like, all right, I guess if I have to. And I tried to roar like a lion, and they said, no, that's not very good. So I had to try and do it again, and they said, nah, you're still holding back a little bit. I tried to do it again. They're like, all right, just nah, it's not good. So I guess I was feeling, I guess, a little bit deflated. Like, I didn't understand, like, what does this mean? Am I not really free? Like, what am I holding back kind of thing? And, you know, a bit, few insecurities or whatever. A few weeks later, there was this retreat. And they have this retreat at the start of the year where the whole class, the whole EDT goes together in this fancy camp place. And, you know, you do activities and pray and worship and whatever. And there was this one night, they called it Open Heaven Night or Open Zion Night, something like that. And again, it was one of these nights where people were getting impacted by the Holy Spirit. They were laughing, they were crying, they were screaming. And again, I was wanting this. I wanted to experience it. But again, I felt, I didn't really feel it. I didn't feel anything. I was just kind of felt deflated after a while and sat in the corner feeling sorry for myself. And then I see, while all this crazy stuff's going on, I see one of my friends, he's also called Matthew, a different Matthew, and he was laughing his head off like crazy. He sounded like a lunatic, and he had a very funny laugh as well. But he couldn't even stand up. He was like crawling on his forearms, probably getting calf burns, and I could see him. He was at the other end of the room. I probably could have got up and walked to him because I knew he was coming to me, but I just stayed where I was and made him walk, crawl the whole way. And he says to me, Denz, I feel like you just need to roar like a lion like you tried to do the other day. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But eventually I got the courage and I was still sitting and I like roared a couple times and I knew it wasn't right. So I stood up and I began to roar and I eventually started yelling at the top of my lungs and I was started speaking in these crazy tongues that were different to my normal tongues. It sounded like a weird language. But I was just running up and down, dancing, screaming at the top of my lungs. Everyone else is doing their own thing, so I didn't feel any pressure. But that was going on for apparently like 50 minutes of me just yelling, crazy, acting like a lunatic. And, you know, I would never do that kind of thing ever. Like, I hate being the center of attention. I hate, you know, yelling or that kind of thing. And even just have that energy wasn't very much like me at all. So I knew it was the Holy Spirit trying to tell me something. And was trying to tell me that I do have a voice and that I have you know, like a warrior spirit, and he wanted me to show me that. So to say that, so I had expectations of what I thought the Holy Spirit was going to do. I had put pressure on, you know, I tried to put him in a box. It's like, people are laughing, I want to laugh, I want to feel that joy. People are crying, I want to feel that emotion, I want to experiencing what they're experiencing. But the Holy Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows what we really need. And for me, it took that step of obedience to listen, okay, step of humility, all right, God, what God has for me is something different. I need to obey what he's telling me to do and step into that. And in that situation, I had to use my voice and you know, scream at the devil, scream at all the insecurities that were coming at me, all the fears that I was facing. I had to yell at them and tell them, no, I'm God's son, I'm a warrior of God. I can conquer all of that. So now I better stop talking about myself and actually talk about the Bible for a second. We are in a church. So I'll talk about a prophet, and you know, there's many great prophets people want to be like. There's Moses, who obviously led all the Hebrews out of Egypt, and there was all these crazy plagues. Or there was Elijah, who called down the fire of God put on fire this wet altar. Or there was Elisha, who cursed a bunch of dudes and they got mauled by bears. But there's also one very cool prophet, but a prophet that I really relate to called Jonah. And for those of you who don't know the story, Jonah was a prophet of God, and God called him to go to the city of Nineveh. And at the time, Nineveh was like one of the worst cities. It was, people were robbing each other, stealing from each other. They were slapping each other with fish. I think that's what the VeggieTales say. And they were doing all this crazy stuff. And God called, obviously, Jonah to go to them. And that was the last thing Jonah would want to do. He doesn't want to go to, it's like us wanting to go to like a Crows stadium or something, like a terrible place that he wouldn't want to go to. But so he wanted to go the opposite direction, all the way to Tarshish, which is like in Spain. If you know, Nineveh's over here, Spain's over here, or Spain's over here, Nineveh's over here. He wanted to go the exact opposite direction. And that's definitely how I felt in a lot of situations where I felt God was calling me to do something, or Pastor Caleb's asked me to preach this Sunday or something like that. And I want to run the exact opposite way. I want to go to Spain instead. But when Jonah finally obeyed, when Jonah finally, you know, agreed to, or like he got swallowed by a fish, all that happened, and he finally goes to the city of Nineveh, and he's got to proclaim the message that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days because of their wicked acts. And I'm sure Jonah, he probably still didn't want to do it. He's probably like, all right, you guys got to repent. Oh, God's going to destroy you in 40 days. Like, I don't think he was very bold. He probably didn't want them to be saved. And but even then, he still eventually did what God was calling him to do. And eventually, Nineveh, they decided, oh, like, truth, we're going to get destroyed. We need to repent. We need to turn to God. And I'm telling you, Jonah probably did not put any effort into it, no enthusiasm into it. He probably hated these people more than anyone. What I'm trying to say is that our attitude doesn't really matter at the moment. It's about the obedience to the Holy Spirit. And when I decided to obey the Holy Spirit to yell, only then was something able to break through. When Jonah finally obeyed the Holy Spirit, when he finally obeyed God, he managed to save a whole city. And he was still upset with that, and obviously he was frustrated with that. But it doesn't matter about what we're feeling or what we're fearing or what we expect God to do, because Jonah expected him to destroy the city, and he didn't. But something much greater can happen from that. So for me, back to me about my voice and stuff, and I, you know, stopped talking about God with my friends. Eventually, you know, I started speaking more and being more vocal about my faith, sharing more about my life, sharing more about my heart and the things that, you know, I'm going through at church, just talking about my relationship as well and how I'm doing that. And with my workmates, you know, in those discussions, they would ask me questions. And one of them, he was on a bit of a spiritual journey, and he began to ask a lot of questions about it. And would have deep chats about our faith or my faith, and he would ask more questions. And eventually, he began his own journey to look for the truth. And one day, he gave me a call. He said, "Denzel, I just had a crazy dream. I saw like a white light, and that it didn't really feel like a dream. It felt real, but I could just feel Jesus telling me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that was amazing. And he gave his life. He's being baptized now. He goes to a church with his mom. And even though I probably didn't articulate myself the best, or I didn't wasn't the best example, or I didn't always show a crazy enthusiasm for the things of God, or you know, every Bible scripture that was relevant to every conversation, but it was just a small step of obeying God and proclaiming the truth of Him and what I've gone through. So just like how Jonah was able to lead Nineveh into repentance, I was able to lead just one person, but it's all a journey to God. So just really wanted to encourage you that when you have God, it is not what you can do or how eloquent you are, not how bold or courageous you feel, but simply speaking the truth and allowing God and the Holy Spirit to do the rest. So I'm going to pass to Jack now.
That was so funny and so good. I love what you said, and it's amazing the story you shared, I guess, with the roaring and the lying. God ended up using your voice in the future to affect Blake's life and everything, so that was amazing. Hi, everyone. It's good to see you all. I'm back. It's been a while. I haven't seen you guys in a few weeks. I missed you. It's good to see my friends and family again. Thank you so much for having us, and I'm really grateful for this opportunity for us three to really share a bit of our lives, a bit of our stories, and really share what God's put on our hearts for you guys. So thanks for being here. Thanks for being forced to listen, because you came. You have to listen. You can't run away. But no, I really appreciate that. And I wanted to thank everyone as well for the wedding and having us here. We got married here in this church, and it was really significant and special to us. So I just wanted to thank everyone for your prayers, the ones that were there, the ones that were there in spirit. It was really special to us, and we're just so grateful for that. So thank you, everyone. I wanted to start today by sharing a bit more personal and a bit more about myself and where my journey started, similar to Denzel, and how that started a life of following the Spirit and following God with everything that I did. So, bit of background. I come from not a Christian family, but I had a Christian dad. And I started going to church at about 10 years old. That's when he first went to church. And I loved and idolized my dad, and I still do to this day. He's an amazing man, but I just wanted to be like him. And he started going to church, so I decided, I'm going to go to church with you, Dad. I want to be like you. I want to see what's going on there. And for the first about 12 months, it was all just words to me. I'm a 10-year-old, so what do you expect? But it was all just words. I was just sitting there. I was going through the motions a little bit, just trying to see and understand and sort of follow my dad's example and everything that I did. But in 2011, I went to a summer camp. I think I actually got a photo from Facebook archives. Do you guys have that? Next photo, the summer camp 2011. Next slide. Yeah, come on. I am the one like right in the bottom row in the middle with the buzz cut hair, weird smile. You're not going to be able to see it because it's so blurry and old. But this is where my faith journey and everything started for me. So I came to this camp. My dad was a youth leader, funnily enough. And I came to this camp and Pastor Caleb was there. And he ended up preaching and talking about the Holy Spirit and all those kind of things. And I saw a lot of people touched by the Spirit of God. And I saw a lot of people experience God. And I'd never had that yet. But I saw it all around me. And I was just so fascinated and so interested about what was going on. And so I decided to come in one morning to their worship session, and it was kind of like the worship session this morning. It was amazing. It was so good. And I came and I experienced that, but I didn't really feel God's presence. Similar to Denzel, I came, I watched everyone else experience and feel it, but I just watched it from a distance. I ended up closing my eyes at the end of that worship session, and I remember asking so distinctly to God. I asked him, I was like, God, if you're real, if you really are real, I want you to show me. I want you to do something, and I want you to say something to me that I will know you're real, and I'll give you everything. I'll give you my life. I'll follow you with everything that I do, and I'll sit at the front of every church session. I'll sing as loud as I can, even though I have a terrible voice, but I'll do everything for you. And I closed my eyes and I actually got a vision straight away. And it was really profound. It was like a dream. And it was of two paths. I've never read the Bible before, so I didn't know this is in scripture, but there was two paths. And I think we got a photo of those two. One was a narrow path. One was a bit skinnier. It was a bit hilly. We're going to go with the one on the left. We're going to say that one's the narrow path. And I saw it and it was wavy. It was up and down hills and it looked pretty tough to walk on. And then on the other side, there was a path that was wider. There was a lot of people walking down there. It looks like what was easiest to go, like the path of less resistance. You're walking with your friends, it's easier. But I remember being on the fence line. And I remember hearing so clearly, potentially the voice of God, what I think was the voice of God. And I remember God saying to me in that moment, "You've walked in the middle long enough. It's time for you to make a decision and walk your path." So I looked in front of me. I saw the two paths. One was on the left, windy and hilly and tough to walk on, pretty alone. And then the other one was wide and a lot of people walking on. And for some reason, something inside of me said, "You need to go to the left. You need to walk on the path that's a bit harder. And you are going to walk there and it will be so grand and it will be so great." So I felt that lead. I felt that in my spirit. Well, I guess I'd say my spirit. And I ended up walking on that path. And it was tough. It was up and down hills and everywhere, you know, go up, down, low, whatever it was. And it was really difficult. But I got about halfway in and I met up with some friends, funnily enough. And they said, "Why are you walking on this path? You're all alone. There's no one there. It's just you. Why are you doing this?" And I just told them so clearly, "I just feel called to this place. And I know there's something down here for me." So I kept on walking, and at the end of this road, I think I saw the gates to heaven, and that was the end of my vision. And I remember just saying in that moment, I was just like, "God, I'm just going to give you everything now. You have my life. You have everything I've got. I'm going to follow your lead for the rest of my life." So through my whole teenage years, I went to every single camp, I went to every single worship session, and I just had so much grace over my life. God was just so evident in everything that I did because I gave him everything, because I chose to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, walk on the more difficult path. God was able to use that and lead me. And I didn't get everything right. I make mistakes. I'm by no means perfect, but I followed what God told me to do in that time because I believed he would transform my life and transform the lives of the people around me. I wouldn't be here if I didn't make a decision that day. As a Christian, when you let the Holy Spirit lead your life, you have opened yourself up to a life of inner conflict, a life between a battle of flesh and doing what's easier, and a life of the difficult path, walking a hard path. Maybe it's alone, maybe it's with friends, but it's going to be a lot tougher. And I want to share another story with you guys, and it's a bit more recent, and it's about our missions trip that we did at this church. So about how many months ago? 2 months ago, we got a text from Caleb, and he asked a few of us young leaders in the church if we wanted to go to the Middle East with him. And at that time, I'd already proposed to Olivia. I'd spent all my money on a really expensive ring. I paid my deposits for the wedding venue, and I didn't have much money left. And I got this text, but something inside me said, "You got to go. You've got to go on this trip. I have something for you here." My mind, my flesh, everything inside of me is like, like, no way. Why would I waste my money? Like, why would I spend all this money? I don't have it. It's gonna cost you so much. It's not gonna be worth it. But then another voice inside of me said, "No, it is worth it. I have something for you there, and I want you to impact lives." So that battle between flesh and spirit was so evident in my life. And thank God I chose the Spirit. Thank God I listened to his voice and went on this trip. And God was able to impact so many lives because of that trip. And he was also able to impact Olivia and I's life a lot more personally. He gave us a call and he gave us a word, and it was so special. But that battle was so real for every single one of us. That battle of flesh and spirit is just so evident. And I wanted to bring it to a scripture now. It's Galatians 5, 16 to 25. So I'm going to read through it. And this is what the Bible says. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants you to do evil. It wants you to do opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Doing the right thing does not come easy. It is a battle a lot of the time to choose what's right, to choose the Spirit. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. It's sexual immorality, it's impurity, it's lustful pleasures. It is, next slide, It's all those things. But when you, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. When we choose the Spirit, those fruit will be evident in our lives. When that wrestle is going on in your life, when you're deciding, what do I do? To be able to discern what the Spirit's telling you will look like what those fruit are. Can we go back again? What it will look like, the decisions that you make, it will look like love, it will look like joy, it will look like peace, it will look like patience, it will look like kindness, it will look like faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things is what the Spirit desires. And when you choose Him, that will be the fruit. But when you don't choose Him, it's going to be selfish. It's going to be about you. It's going to be about what's easier for you. All right, last slide. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed those passions and desires of the sinful nature to the cross and have been crucified there, them. Or them there. They're all gone. Like that sinful nature inside of you, because of what Jesus did, is on the cross now. That is not in your life. It doesn't have to be in life. Yes, the battle's still there. But when we remember what Christ did, those sinful natures are gone. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In our flesh, we want I'll skip ahead. We're running out of time. One thing I've learned through prayer is the ability to be able to discern the Holy Spirit's voice. When Olivia calls me on the phone, do I know that it's her before she tells me? Do I need her to say, "Hey, Jack, it's Olivia. I'm just calling you. How are you going?" No, I don't need that because I know her voice. I recognize it. The moment I hear Olivia say, "Hey, love, hey, Jack," anything like that, I know it's her because I have spent so much time with her. I have a relationship with her and I'm getting to know her better. It goes both ways with knowing the Spirit too. When you hear His voice and you have relationship with Him, you've built it over time, over time, over time, you'll know what it is. You'll know that Spirit inside of you, what He's telling you and where it's leading you to, because you've made these right decisions over and over and over again. The places where I feel like I can hear His Spirit best, I actually work in a school, I'm a school chaplain, and one thing that I've really built into my work and what I do is this well-being support for students, and I often pray before I talk to a kid. I'll often pray and say, "God, just show me something about little Johnny, tell me something that you want me to say to him," and I'll hear the Spirit say, "Tell him he's amazing. Tell him he's so good at basketball." Maybe it was something simple like that, or maybe it would be something a bit deeper, saying, I see you, mate. I see what you're going through, and I'm sorry about what's going on. I'll be able to hear that better because I just practice it so often. I practice, practice, practice. But other times I find it so difficult to hear His voice when I'm praying about my future, when I'm praying about direction, because I don't do it enough, or I do it a lot. I find it a lot harder to hear His voice. And when things are tough at home, when things are tough in life, it's a lot harder to hear the Spirit's voice. But that's why we need prayer so much in our lives. That's why we need to build this habit in our lives of getting to know the Spirit more, praying to Him more, and finding Him. And my last little point about probably discerning the Holy Spirit's voice again and being able to hear it is, if you're still finding it tough, go back to that scripture, Galatians 5:22. And question to yourself, is this decision that I'm making leading to love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Or is it leading to something more selfish, something about me? It's a process, and we all have to figure this out, and we are going to get it wrong sometimes. But when we get it right, life will be changed. Your life will be transformed. When we follow what God tells us to do, like we heard with Denzel, when Denzel listened to God and he followed God's voice, people's life get changed. And that's why we're here. We're here for life transformation. We're here for God to change our lives and make us more like Christ. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit in every part of our lives. As we walk with the Spirit, stay in step with Him, He will strip back away our love for sin, and He will make us more like Jesus in everything that we do. I'd now like to pass it on to my wife.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. For those that don't know me, my name is Olivia, and I'm going to be sharing this morning point number three, if you haven't been following closely. Point number one from Denzel was to trust in the journey of the Holy Spirit. Jack just then shared about trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to share a little bit more practically, just as we finish up this morning, about trusting in the unseen works of the Holy Spirit. As has been mentioned, it's mine and Jack's first Sunday back. You can tell we're in sync. We've got a lot of the same stories this morning. But we were married here only 2 weeks ago. There's a photo there if you want to show that. And we stood up here and had a very Christian, typical wedding. It was a wonderful day. We had the best day of our lives. If you can believe it, that photo is of the stage here. I think it looks very different, and I thought it looked very good. And it was a wonderful day. But like I said, it was a typical Christian wedding. So we started our ceremony, obviously coming down the aisle. We started with some worship. Denzel actually read out scripture that was very meaningful for us. And then Caleb shared a little word, which we loved as well. And then we moved into our vows. And Jack and I had decided to opt for a more traditional style of vows. We didn't write them ourselves. And we stood here, literally right here, on our wedding day. And we made a commitment. That's what a vow is, a commitment, a promise of how we were going to love each other and serve each other and care for each other for the rest of our lives. It was very powerful. If you've ever been to a wedding or maybe been married yourselves, the vows is a very powerful and emotional and moving part of a wedding ceremony. And I think it's because the couple stands there believing for what's to come in the future, believing for who they're going to be, not just now, not just us standing here 2 weeks later, but for the rest of our marriage and for the rest of our lives. And what we did was we spoke into existence a promise for now and for the future, despite the unseen of what's to come. Sickness or health, better or worse, richer or poorer, we have no idea. But we spoke into existence that promise. And it is often a great challenge to believe for something that we cannot yet see. And part of the reason why I think it's such a challenge is that we in our modern day world have become accustomed to getting things, for the most part, getting whatever we want. If you think about our access to food and family and medication and anything we need is just in reach of our fingertips. And I know it's not always the case, but it is for the most part. And because we have so much available to us, it can be really hard to believe for the things that aren't as easy to reach. Things like healing. How can you believe or see for a miracle to happen, an injury to be healed, something to change in someone's body or mind? For our children, maybe to follow God. I don't have children, but it's hard to reach. It's hard to see that maybe your kid could come back and follow God. Maybe they could come to God in the first place and meet with Him. For family restoration, it can be hard to see if we're in the middle of a conflict or challenge that things are going to be better one day, that God's going to bring about a great miracle in that place as well. Maybe even a hope or a dream that you've had burning in your heart for a long time. You want to have a child, but you can't. You want to have a family, but you haven't got one yet. There's a job that you want, a marriage. Maybe you want to dream again. You want to see what God's going to do next in your life, but you can't quite reach it. You can't quite see it the way that you can see food or medicine or reaching out to people by the phone. But it's these unseen and seeming impossibilities that are usually what really matter. It's hard because it seems impossible. And it's especially hard when it comes to prayer. It's hard to focus and see in your mind's eye what God's showing you when you can't see it right in front of you. Sometimes we might hesitate, not be really sure of what we want to ask for or pray for. Sometimes there's fear. If you think about some of your prayers, there's fear sometimes. Is God really going to do this? Is He really going to work in this way? We fear we could be wrong, and our mind, our thoughts, our intellect can get in the way of believing and having a great faith and trust in the Holy Spirit and what He could do in the future. Sometimes maybe you've practiced this, you've tried to pray, you've tried to believe, you've prayed for so long, but it hasn't happened. And so we stop. Naturally, we stop. And sometimes this means that our prayers can become safe again. Safe prayers are fine. It's okay to rest in God and have beautiful intimacy with Him and prayer with Him. but this doesn't strengthen our spirit. It doesn't cause our spirit inside of us, like Jack said, to grow or strengthen. Sometimes it leaves our spirit a little bit weaker than it should be. When Jack and I were in Turkey and Egypt, like I said, a lot of crossover this morning, what affected us a lot, this is just a picture here of us in a church service, and then the other photo up here is of one of the prayer rooms that the guys have over there. Everyone has a prayer room in their home, which Jack and I have implemented in our home as well. But what affected me the most is these missionaries live overseas in these places, and they work in a dangerous environment every single day. They wake up with a sense of risk. They could literally be deported and not be able to enter those countries again and do the work they feel God's called them into. But despite this, they had such a deep and genuine faith, and they would worship like this every day. They would pray like this every day. And their prayers were strong. They were bold. They were full of faith. And they were believing for things that seemed impossible. And one of the ones we heard often was, they declared that the people of Egypt, we went over there for a conference, that the people of Egypt would belong to the Lord. They declared that the next generation would remain faithful to follow Jesus despite the disadvantage, despite not having opportunities, despite being a minority, that these young ones would remain faithful and lead the church and lead the nation back to God. These prayers were dangerous prayers, not safe prayers or weak prayers. These were dangerous prayers. And I found that it wasn't really despite the risk that they prayed that way, but it was because of the risk that they had to pray that way, that dangerous prayers were really required. And so as I finish, I wanted to talk about a certain type of prayer, which I think is a dangerous prayer, and this is called a declaration prayer. Declaration prayers are our spoken response to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 3:5, it says, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Or in other translations it says, it is because you heard with faith. So every Christian, as we've heard over the last few weeks, is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes when you first believe in Jesus Christ. And if you're sitting here for the first time and maybe not a Christian yet, this is something that is available to you. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And the Spirit keeps on coming and working and moving in the same way by our belief. Everything the Holy Spirit accomplishes in us and through us is by our faith. And so this type of prayer that I want to mention as we finish up is a response of our faith to what the Holy Spirit is prompting us that he can accomplish. Even though we can't see it, even though we don't know what it's going to look like exactly, this is what the Holy Spirit is prompting us in. The prayer is a bold prayer. Can everyone say bold prayer? I've always wanted to try that. It's a bold prayer in faith for something we cannot see. A declaration can be for something to change in your life, like I've mentioned, healing, increasing faith, family, friends. You might want to speak over your identity. It might be believing for something that's still to come, something in your future, a calling, a destiny, whatever it is. And it's also believing the truth of who God is. His character, speaking his personality, what you want to know about him and how you want him to move in your church, in your city, in your family. Declaration prayers are also always grounded in scripture. If you're not sure if what you're praying is true, it's always grounded in scripture. I just wanted to mention that. So I'm going to play soon a little video. When Jack and I got back from Turkey, our youth team and our group was in the middle of a prayer series. And so we brought back this beautiful understanding that prayer didn't have to always look like sitting down and resting in God, although that's a beautiful thing. You could also come and have a bold faith, prayer that is filled with faith and strength. And it's not about yelling. It's not about being loud, the loudest in the room, but it was about being filled with faith. So we came and we printed out this little thing here, which has some great examples of declaration prayers in the Bible. There's actually hundreds of them if you ever have a look for yourself. We taught them about what a declaration prayer was, and we instructed them to pray first about what they felt God was saying to them. What is God saying to you about who you are now for who you want to become in the future, in this unseen space? We have a few teens that you're here. They prayed out, "I declare that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." That is a very hard truth to know as a teenager and believe as a teenager. Some of them pray that God would heal mental health, sickness, depression, anxiety. And some prayed that they would experience God and have an encounter with him that they haven't had before. It was very wonderful and very powerful. So then they ended up writing out a little prayer and prayed a declaration prayer, which I'm going to show you just a short video of. The thing is that we can't always afford to pray a safe prayer if we want the Holy Spirit to work deeply in our lives, if we want to trust in him to work in the unseen space from where we are now to where we want to be in the future. So I want you to think, just as the video is playing, and Jack's going to come up and end in an activation afterwards, but as the video is playing, I want you to think about your own life and maybe a dangerous declaration prayer that you want to speak into existence in your own life, in your own family, in your church, whatever it is that God puts on your heart. What is it that you want to believe for in your life?